Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege to bring to you this morning's message. I need a show of hands. Where are my superhero fans at? Come on. Okay, I am a superhero fan, and I always have been, ever since I was little. There is just something just about someone being able to defy the laws of nature that just like mesmerized me as a kid and still does to this day. Like flying, super strength, invincibility, x-ray vision, heat vision, super speed, time travel, invisibility, manipulation of elements, fighting against evil and all the odds. Like I love it. And I don't think I'm the only one, because I know that since their start in 2008, okay, all of the Marvel movies combined have made $31 billion. I'm only responsible for about half of that. So I know that some of you guys are into superheroes as well. Okay, I want you to take a second. Turn to your neighbor. If you could have one superpower, just one, what would you choose? Share that with your neighbor. Okay, go. All right, my favorite superhero growing up has always been Superman. Because who can stop the Man of Steel? Right? Super strength, speed, can fly, leap, x-ray vision, super hearing, smell. Superman has it all. Okay, later on in life, I realized that Superman basically ripped off Jesus. Just saying. Let's think about this. Their origin stories are the same, as they both come from heavenly worlds, right? They both came to Earth. They have ties to earthly families, right? They both kind of concealed their identities, their true identities. They both perform superhero actions, miracles. They both fight wrong. They both show an immense love and compassion towards people. And they both are seen as saviors of the world. Obviously, today, as we continue in our 40 Days of Prayer series, we're talking about the power of God. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for this day. God, we just thank you for this time that we set apart to come together as a church family, to worship you with song, to worship you with our giving. And God, and right now we get to focus on your word. God, as we come face to face with you during this time, God, may you be glorified. May you be honored. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. So as we talk about the power of God, we're going to talk about five different aspects of God's power. And the first being God's creative power. Creation is a profound demonstration of God's omnipotent power. Like, I don't know how you look around at this world and not see the hand of God. Mountains and oceans and animals and people and weather, snow, springtime, right? The earth just screams and points to God's power. Psalm 33, 6 through 9. The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. This is the crazy part of creation that just always blows my mind. As Psalms 33 tells us, God simply spoke and it was created. It's not like he labored and toiled. It's not the strength of his back, the sweat of his brow. It's just the authority of his voice, the power of his spoken word Right? Out of nothing, God creates something new into existence. Just think about that for a second. If that doesn't make you go, whoa, I don't know what will. We also see that God's creative powers, they're not just limited to the physical, but he also creates something new inside of the heart of his people. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So God uses his creative powers for us, in us, to help us do his will. So no matter how hard and messy and lost and maybe broken life is, God offers a new start by his creative powers for those who say yes to him. So God's creative powers. The second aspect of God's power is his power to transform. God has the power to transform situations and circumstances in a very real way. Right? The people of God, they saw God's power to change their lives. Think about it. The flood in Genesis, the parting of the Red Sea, the cloud by day, fire by night, through the wilderness journey for his people. Right? We see God prolong the day for Joshua. Like God stepped down and he transformed the physical. Just think about the life of Jesus here. It had a direct impact on the world. Healing the sick, raising the dead back to life, calming storms, feeding of thousands of people. God has the power to change situations and circumstances. God also has the power to transform his people. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. I certainly bet that some of us could testify to this truth. Right? You look back at your own life before you met Christ and before you said yes to Jesus to where you are now. It's like you're a different person. And that's because that's true. You are a different person. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you experience regeneration, where you are made spiritually alive. You experience justification, where you are declared righteous. You're in a right relationship now with God. You experience union with Jesus, where Christ is in you and you are in Christ now. You experience adoption, where you become a son or a daughter of God in his family forever. You experience positional sanctification, which means that you are now set apart in sacredness. You are seen as holy by God. Man, God certainly uses his power to transform his people who say yes to him. The third aspect of God's power is his power to sustain. His power to sustain us. That he has the power to give us strength and comfort and protection no matter what we go through. And let's be honest, life isn't fair. Life isn't easy. It's filled with hardship and heartbreak. And we live in a fallen world, and this is the effect of sin in our world. Jesus himself tells us that we will, in fact, experience hardship in this world. But God promises to be with us through it all. He cares for you. He cares about this world. So throughout all moments of your life, Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. So when you feel overwhelmed by life's struggles, church family, remind yourself that God is in control, that he is sovereign, and his loving rule will prevail. He is with us, and he has given us the power to sustain in this life. So have hope and have peace as you look to God to get you through all of life's challenging times. Psalm 54:4, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. A fourth aspect of God's power is his overcoming power. His overcoming power. So not only does God allow us power to persevere and to get through the challenges of life, but to overcome them, to have confidence that even as we go through them, God is using them for our good. Psalm 46, 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength. He's always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Now there are going to be times when we feel like destruction or ruin or the end of the world is like right around the corner, just ready to pounce on you, on us. We don't have to fear. We do not have to worry. We can trust God's ability to save us. He is our refuge. And church, understand that this is not a temporary retreat that we can go to during hardships and trials and obstacles. No, what this is talking about is God is our eternal, forever place of security. And he can provide strength and courage and boldness in any circumstance that we go through in this life. I want you guys to remember that this present world and the allure of this world, it's not meant to be our home or reward. Our home, our eternal prize is heaven. It's his presence, his kingdom. And when we say yes to Jesus, we have already overcome this world. Why? Because he has overcome this world. 1 John 4:4, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in this world. God has the power to overcome. A fifth aspect of God's power is his resurrecting power. His ability to bring dead things back to life. Once again, I want to be honest with you. There will be times in your life where situations or plans or dreams die. Or at least you have no more hope that God's going to fulfill them anymore. You have given up on them. Estranged children, infertility, healing that hasn't come, stability that hasn't come, a significant other, success. The Lord has not answered the way that you have prayed over and over and over. And it just hurts so much. I want you to know that even if you have given up hope, God has the power to resurrect dead situations to life. He's the only one who can. In Luke 7, we see Jesus bring back to life the widow's son who died. In Luke 8, we see Jesus bring back Jairus' daughter who had died. In John 11, we see Jesus bring back his friend Lazarus to life who had died. And all the gospel accounts, they recount the power of God that raised Jesus back from the dead. If God can bring back dead people to life, he can certainly bring back dead plans and dead situations and dead dreams back to life. If he did that then, he can do it now. Church family, hold on to your faith. God has resurrecting power. So now we get to ask our question, right? What's our big question? So what? So God has power. What does all that mean for you and I right now? Turn your Bibles. Psalm 77. It's also going to be on the screen behind us. In 587 BC, the Babylonians, they invaded and they conquered Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed. The city was burned. Many Jews were killed. Many Jews were taken into captivity into Babylon. Asaph, he was a worship leader to King David and to Solomon. And after witnessing these terrible events, the destruction of all that he held dear, he laid in bed one night, wrestling with the meaning of what he just saw. What just happened? Why, God? Heartbroken, sad, angry. How many of you have ever laid in bed at night wondering what has happened to your life? Laid in bed at night worried about what's happening. How many of you have laid in bed at night just crying out for God to move and to do something? Yeah. I think we all can relate to this. And in times of crisis and in times of pain, like, we should reach out to God, right? We should cry out. We should pray to him. I want you guys to watch the progression of Asaph here. Watch what God's power meant and what it did for him. Pay close attention to all the personal pronouns that Asaph uses here, okay? Let's read Psalm 77, starting in verse 1. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I searched my soul and pondered the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? And is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. Clearly, you can see and feel the depth of Asaph's agony here. Right? His tears, his despair. And just years before, he enjoyed the blessing of God. He enjoyed raising his hands in worship, singing to God in his temple and leading his people in songs of worship. And now all we see is deep cries of distress and despair. He's reaching out into the darkness, just hoping to find something, anything. I told you to pay attention to the personal pronouns Asaph uses. I counted 19 times the word I or me used in these 10 verses. During times of crisis, it's easy to focus on us, right? How we feel, how we are being impacted, and that's natural. But as people of God, we cannot stay there. There came a time where Asaph told his mind, remember God. To remember God's power, to remember what God has done, to remember his faithfulness. Look at verse 11. But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Asaph had come to a place where he had to make a decision to cast his thoughts onto God. I recall, right? I remember. He made a decision to get the focus off of himself and onto God, to remember the power of God. Let's finish reading this and pay attention to the personal pronouns that Asaph uses once again. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arms, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, your pathways through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along the road like a flock of sheep with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. Obviously, that last part, we're talking about the parting of the Red Sea. Did you notice the language changed? Did you catch it? There's no more personal pronouns of I or me. Instead, it was a focus on God, you and your. His cries of distress, once he turned his thoughts onto the power of God, it turned into worship. Right? Memories of God's miracles. Memories of God's faithfulness. It sustained him. Now, did his circumstances change? No. But he did. He did. Church family, God is capable. God is trustworthy. He has the power to change. When you face trials, life's hardships, remind yourself of who God is. Remind yourself of what God has already done. And just watch how he changes you. Our God is the God of power. I want to move into our time of prayer now that we've been doing. Once again, if you want to pray by yourself, you're welcome to do that. If you want to pray with the person next to you, you're welcome to do that. But for our first prayer prompt today, it's this. I want you to think of God's power in creation. Okay, list off the items of creation that just leave you in awe. Take a minute. Will you praise God for his creative power? For our next prayer prompt, I want you to think of God's transforming power. Praise him for how he has transformed your life from a sinner to a saint. Just list all the ways that he has transformed your life. Thank you. for our next prayer prompt, I want you to think about God's sustaining power. Are you or someone you know going through something right now where you need God's strength and His help? Will you ask and pray for God to answer? You to think of God's overcoming power. His overcoming power. Consider past events in your life where God has, you know, thrown you that curveball, but it actually turned out to be a blessing in your life. We praise Him for that. You to think of God's resurrecting power. Pray through those life situations where you have given up hope. Will you ask Him to bring the dead to life? For this last prayer prompt, just consider God's power. Okay, consider who He is and what He has done in your life and the world around you. Take a minute just to worship Him. Psalm 77:14, you are the God of great.